Here in Kuntres Achrayin, essay number 7. It can be found on page Kuf Samach Aleph, which is on the top numbers, which is 321 on the top numbers. This letter, there's actually a discussion that was raised by the Rebbe that this letter would be more appropriate in Ageras HaKadosh, because it is a letter, it is not like writing notes to himself, and it happens also to be a tzedakah letter. But the Mittler Rebbe put it in Kuntres Achrayin. So, and there doesn't seem to be any notes as to why it was put into Kuntres Achrayin. So it starts with based on a pasuk on Amos, it says Tzedakah kenachal eitan, and we know it's from Amos because he even puts it. But Amos says simen hey, Tzedakah is like a mighty river, and this is a part of a pasuk which is in this parak in Amos, and there the translation is righteousness is like a mighty river. That's appropriate. In fact, if I was possibly me, which Baruch Hashem, I didn't have anything to do with the way the writing of the Tanya is, I may have put this one for last in Kuntres Achrayin rather than a couple from the end, because one of the reasons it says that the Alter Rebbe started the first book with the word Tanya, even though if you look in the Gemara there, that's footnoted, it's really a Mishnah, and Tanya means we learn in a brisa, and one of the reasons why it says that the Alter Rebbe decided to change the word from Tanan, which would mean we learn in a Mishnah, to Tanya, which to learn in a brisa, is because an anagram of the word Tanya is Eitan. Eitan means from the depths, referring to the depths of the neshama. And so here in this letter, he's going to discuss this idea of how deep in the neshama is it. He says that the idea was is that the publishing of the Tanya and the learning of the Tanya is supposed to bring out from the very depths. And sitting right at our table, we have Eitan Tzipporin, right? You know, so this is all about you. The whole book is about you. Okay? Pirish, Kemeshin Nachal Eisan, Hu Hamshachas and Hamshachas Bechinus Eitan, Shehuna Kodes Behechala, meaning, so you have the Nachal Eitan, which what's Nachal Eitan, which is this mighty river, that is a derivative of Eitan. What's Eitan? Eitan is Chachma, in this case, Chachma of our Neshama, level of wisdom, which we talked about, that Chachma is the beginning of Seder Histalshelus. Before Chachma of Atzilus, it's not called, there's all kinds of degrees and dargas and whatnot, but it's not called Seder Histalshelus. Seder Histalshelus specifically refers to things as they are in order. The realm of Tikkun starts in Chachma of Atzilus, and Chachma of Atzilus is merely a nekuda, it's a point by which, a seminal point, by which there is, which contains in it the entire Seder Histalshelus. And then you have the idea of a Nachal, that the Nachal is Bina. That's what it means, Nekuda Behechala, the point in its chamber, because what happens is in the relationship, in any relationship, that you have male, female, you have mashpia and makabel, the giver and the recipient. So the giver gives initial start, and the development is in the recipient. So it's the same thing also with Chachma and Bina. That Chachma and Bina, Chachma is an initial initial seminal germ. And in Bina, there is a full development, which is analogized by the letters Yud and He. That Yud is a point, and He has a length and a breadth. And they refer to this Hamshacha as it's coming down. And then they are also called Terein Reyin Delay Mefarshin. two friends that never separate, because there's an interconnectivity and there's an interdependence between Chochmah and Bina. Okay, so there's nothing going to be developed if there's no initial start. But what Bina does is, with the development of the Nakuda, it creates other Nakudas. There are other Nakudas that are started, because as you say, well, you know, as soon as you think about something, so it causes you to think about something else. There's a story about this expression, Train Rein Dilemma Farshin, that the Friedrich Rebbe, when he was 12 years old, before his bar mitzvah, he had a chavrusa, his name was Aaron Strasscheller, I can't say his last name, from where he was from, Strasscheller, something like that. Okay, and these two 12-year-olds were inseparable. Whenever you had one, you had the other. And the Hasidim used to call them Train Rei and Deloi Mefarshin, two friends who never separated. And about them, the Alter Rebbe said, Halavai they should be Train Rei and Deloi Mefarshin, because after the Alter Rebbe was Nistalek, this Aaron Shishela thought it was a bit rude that the Mittler Rebbe should be picked a Rebbe, because that would then establish a precedence where Rebbes were picked based on a family dynasty rather than it going to number one student, for example. And he, Aaron Shishela, thought that he should have been Rebbe. And he actually went away. And he started his own group, and there were a lot of Hasidim that followed him, and he was even Mechaber Sforim, which I've never seen, but I'm told that his Hasidus was as deep or deeper than the Mittler Rebbe's, and it goes into great insights. It's like starts in Atzilus and goes up from there. When he passed away, all of his Hasidim went back to the Tzemach Tzedek. So there's no such thing as a it's a good reason too. I can't even say it. Strachella Chassidim.
Wow.
Okay. The Oisius Eitan Mishamashis La Asid. It says the letters Eitan, Aleph, Yud, Tuf, Nun, all indicate future tense. If you have an Aleph in front of the verb, it means I will. A yud is he will, a tuf is she will, and a nun is we will. So you see that even in the letters there's this idea of what's going to be in the future. And it's very interesting to note, when we're talking about Eitan HaNeshama, there's a lot of emphasis which is made in the part of the Basel Ligani, which we're studying because of Yud Shvat. So there's a part that the Rebbe talks about Oisius Amitis and Oisius Shakranis, true letters and false letters. A true letter is a letter that if you were to build a three-dimensional statue of it, it would stand up by itself. A false letter would be that if you made a three-dimensional statue, it would fall over because it was top-heavy or it wasn't counterbalanced properly. Whatever the reason was, it wouldn't stand up. So the letters Aleph, Yud, Tuf, and Nun, not final Nun, but and Nun, are all true letters. Okay, so you see that the very depth of a person's soul, it would be really cool if you could call it the emes of the neshama, but we don't need to. We call it the Eitan of the Neshama because this depth of our Neshama is also an expression of truth, meaning unending. That's why it says, because of this Eitan Sheba Neshama, so it says that Afal Pishachata Yisraelhu, that even though a person may sin, he's still Jewish. And it's because of this Eitan Neshama that it says, I don't know if it's in a Hebrew expression, but it's in Hayyim, as Ayid, Nitar Vila, Nitar Ken, Zain Upgirind, from Upzavridin, I can't remember the word now, I can't talk, Fon Hashem. That a Jew, not he can, not he wants, to be separated from Hashem. And why is that? Is because the very Iker Nekuda of our Neshama is Elokus, and is totally and completely connected with Elokus at all time. Pirish Anala Asadli is Galya. So now the Eitan on the Shema. So why is it that, okay, so all the letters Aleph, Yud, Tav, and Nun are true. So what's that got to do with the future? So we answer that when is it that we will see and experience Eitan HaNeshama is specifically when Mashiach comes. The very depths of our Neshama is not going to be revealed in this current world. Because what we have now is the Eitan, and what happens to it? What happens with every good idea that we ever have? It goes into our brains, and there it gets stuck in committee. That committee is called, and it has to do with a body and an animal soul, and Taivas Gufnias, and all the Yetzahara. So that's all called committee, that's all called Gullus, as he calls it here. Kamosha Kosuv, Hine Yaskil Avdi. As it says, that my servant should be wise. That right now, as we're in Gullus, so that exactly a wise, meaning Chachma, is not coming through. Our main avodah now in Gullus is to have the avodah ha'eved of Kabbalah's Il Malchus Shemayim. We're like a servant who's just saying, yes, sir. That's what we're doing. We don't appreciate the fullness of what we are doing, nor do we even have the ability to question, to try to understand fully what it is that we're doing. When we put on tefillin in the morning, are we going to see what it is that we're accomplishing, spiritually or physically? The answer is no, we don't. We don't have that now because of our Eitan and Neshama being stuck in Gullus. The Hainashi is Galo as Orin Zay Baruch Hu, because in the future there's going to be this revelation of the light of the infiniteness of Hashem. V'yehudi is Baruch Teich Pnimi Sekudus Alev, and that infiniteness of Hashem is going to be united with the very inner aspect, Nekudus of the Lev, which we talked about this last week or the week last before, that we said that Leis Machshava Tefisa Bei, there's no thought that can grasp Hashem. Avil ben Nekudus Alev Tefasta, but with the depth, from the depth of the heart, it's able to grasp Hashem, which means that right now, if a person's going to supersede and bypass their intellect and relate to Hashem in an essential way, so you'll be able to appreciate the infiniteness of Hashem. So that's going to happen automatically when we are able to appreciate the true infiniteness of Hashem, which is by Tchiyas HaMesim, by the resurrection when Mashiach comes. And how is that coming through? So that comes from this mighty river. That is going to shine through into the very depths of the heart from the supernal level of wisdom, not just our wisdom, but Hashem's wisdom. To be totally and completely, to lose ourselves totally, meaning to lose all of our gedorim. Because what's going to happen when Mashiach comes? It'll be the ultimate yitzias mitzarim. Not mitzarim, mitzarim. The ultimate exodus from any limitation. As Mashiach is going to come, we have a neshama, which the Alter Rebbe said at the very beginning of Tanya, is an expression of the infiniteness of Hashem. But it's stuck inside a very limited body. And even the neshama, as it's divested itself of the body, as it's in Gan Eden, is still only limited as to how much ruchnius it can appreciate. So, but what's going to happen? I mean, that's because it has specific parameters. But with the revelation of the intimateness of Hashem, when Mashiach comes, there's going to be a revelation such that there's going to be a singularity, meaning the only thing, we will exist, but we will see our existence as being part and parcel of Hashem. In other words, the way it was described to me is that when Mashiach comes, you will see a table, but from one end of the table to the other end of the table, you'll see infinity. Something which is impossible now, that from end to end to see infinity, because infinity means without end. But everything the limitations of time and space will be dropped. Okay, so things will have the same space, but space won't mean anything. It'll all be conveyed as an infiniteness. But you'll see a chair different from a table, and a tablecloth different from a table and a chair, and yourself different from the tablecloth and the chair, etc. But they'll all be an expression of infiniteness because they will all be totally, completely united with the infiniteness of Hashem. And he says, excuse me, I'm not sure if he means that this will come now, but it says, after he removes the orla, which means, literally translated, the foreskin of his heart, which is talked about in Devarim, Mal Hashem Elokecha Levavacha Vezlev Zarecha, the Hashem will circumcise the foreskin of your heart, which that means the desire for physical pleasures, for physical taivas, for lusts. So people, we're not talking about negative things over here. We have this thing, we have this desire to do things like breathe, for example. Breathing is a physical desire. Okay, you may not think about your desire to breathe, but you'll definitely think about your desire to breathe if you can't, chas v'shalom. Okay, so the desire to breathe is within us. Okay, I think people want to breathe more than they want to do anything else. Okay, I try doing it like around 20 times a minute. Okay, and I recommend it to all my friends too. Okay, but we're not talking about mindful breathing. Everything's got to be mindful now. I'm inhaling for God. Now, I'm just, if you were to do that, you wouldn't do anything else a whole day. But with Mashiach coming, everything will be geared toward Elokus, including every single breath that you're taking. Because you're going to be living totally and completely united in this infinite spectrum. So Vihine Ata Begalus Echolaza says, now we are presently in Galus. This is a pusik for these people, this folk are in Galus. Yesh gam kam etziyutz lohar kitzas or Hashem. So he says there's a little bit of an advice over here I can give you, because we're never in this world ever going to achieve this personally. Even those people who achieved a level of personal Mashiach, we should talk about that. We have the story with, the famous one is with Menachem Mendel Haradok, that he experienced a personal Mashiach because it was in Tzfas, and they said the Mashiach had come, and he opened up the window, and he smelled, and he said, this is not Mashiach, and he asked, well, what do you need to open the window for to smell? Because it was in his room, it smelled like Mashiach, because he was on the level of Mashiach. But that's Yemaisa Mashiach. Yemaisa Mashiach is a precursor to Tchiyas HaMeisim. Nobody has experienced Tchiyas HaMeisim. I'm not saying this from experience. Anybody who has would probably not go broadcasting it and say, I experienced Tchiyas HaMeisim, because what that would mean is that the person would, first of all, be experiencing infiniteness, and that person would never die. So, to the best of my knowledge, I don't think it's possible that a person could experience Tchiyas HaMeisim. But Meisa Mashiach, when it says, Ein Ben Yaelam Azel, Meisa Mashiach, King Shivat Malchus, that there's no difference between now and the world to come. Except Shibud Malchus, it says in the Mishnah. Shibud Malchus is translated as who's boss, which means that the Jews will be running the world when Mashiach comes. But Shibud Malchus, according to the Kabbalah, means that Malchus, the sphere of Malchus, Hashem's kingship, is enslaved. And when Mashiach comes, Hashem's Malchus will be revealed. Because Malchus we now call Shechina. And the Shechina is in Golus. And what will happen now is, by Yemaisa Mashiach, is that you will have Iker Shechina B'tachtonim, which is the way it was in the Garden of Eden, so that Adam Arishan was able to appreciate and talk with Hashem openly. So that it will be possible for those people who have their own individualized Mashiach, that they can have this revelation. But now, for the most part, we're still in Galus. So Yeshem Lahar Kitzas Or Hashem Avukinis Eitan Latech Nekuda Pnimius Olev. So he says, well, you could exercise your eitan, which is a little bit tough because how are you going to get to it? Okay, mele your biceps, you pick up something and you're like, you know, you're using your biceps and you pick it up enough so you'll get bigger, stronger biceps. How are you going to tap into the ikka nakuda of who you are? But he says that we can a little bit. Ke'en la'asin, it's a little bit like in the future. Okay, and we do get glimpses of la'asid level, like for example on Shabbos, it's called me'en olam haba. Okay, because here it is, Shabbos. You're not working, you're not making any money. Okay? Are you living? Yeah, you're living. You're living through the Shabbos. You're not making any, you're not creating anything, you're not doing any work. Okay? And you're totally dedicated to Elokus, or you should be anyway, you know. And fine, Shalom al Yisrael. So that's a main of it. So now, can we explain keeping Shabbos? Can we understand what it means keeping Shabbos? Sure. We can explain it in physical terms. All the things that have to be done, all the things that not have to be done, all 39 things that are not allowed to be done. Sure. That's easy to explain. And but yet, when we're into the Shabbos, so technically, not technically speaking, but actually, we are above time and place. Time is a whole different thing on Shabbos, and place is a whole different thing on Shabbos. That's why, for example, you can eat cholent on Shabbos afternoon and live to tell about it Saturday night. That's a joke. Anyway, okay. Dahayne al yedei shemis erel nitzis elokus benafsher b'chinas rachamim ravim el yainim. It says, how is it that, for a person to achieve their own personal, the exercise in strengthening their own eitan, so for that you have to elicit help from Hashem. And to do that you have to be, the one of a person who can elicit help from Hashem. I love these long sentences, I always have. Because the whole time that a person does not merit that there should be revealed the light of Hashem, which is his own personal eitan, which is the inner dimension of his heart, to be united and to be nullified from the depth of his source to the point that the guy is ready to plot. Because if you really think about it, it's such a rachmanis that the guy has. Technically speaking, our neshama should be just plotting to unite with Hashem. And why isn't it plotting to unite with Hashem? We should all be doing nadav and avihus all the time. Why aren't we? Well, for the most part, because we don't want to. Nobody wants to. It's because that part of Eitan and Neshama is so far schmutzed. And it's not just covered. It's stuck in quagmire. And now that we have this pristine, when you think about it, you have this pristine expression of Hashem enclosed in our body. And the expression is me'igur rama lebira mikta, from the very highest of heights the neshama starts out, and it gets plunged into the deepest of depths. We should be asking rachmanis on it. It's such a rachmanis on our neshama, and we should feel. This is what you should practice. This is now how you strengthen your eitan. Is you should feel this. That our soul is so stuck in three dimensions. And that Hashem really should cut it some slack, because our neshama happens to be connected to, we've said it before, connected to the infiniteness of Hashem. And being that our neshama, which is connected to the infiniteness of Hashem, is in galus. So that is thereby causing the infiniteness of Hashem to also be schlepped into galus. And everything that we're doing is schlepping it through this quagmire. And so we should practice asking for rachmanis. We should, and that's only going to help if we really feel it. So that's where you have to practice. So just to say, listen, God, my soul's in, I got a donut in one hand and a tikkun chatzos in the other hand. It's not going to cut it, Because that spark of godliness comes from, meaning the wisdom that's in our neshama comes from Hashem's wisdom. Chachma v'tzilus. And when this spark of godliness cannot illuminate and affect the inner dimension of the heart, shisham makam gilei harazu, that we said before, that b'ru'usa d'liba tafasta, you get your brain out of the way and you relate to Hashem from the most innermost level of elokus, and there you're able to relate to Hashem. And so there, in that inner part, the inner dimension of the heart, it's possible to have and experience an infinite revelation. And the fact that it's not, so that indicates that our neshama is in galus, and by thereby, the shechina is also in galus. And by having all of this, by drawing down this great abundant mercy, so then, our neshama goes out of the exile and the captivity in which it's been hurled. And there is then an expression of great and abundant love. Now, this great and abundant love, he describes earlier in Tanya in the 40s as being a rapturous love, such that a person is only... his only desire and only purpose is for elokus, and that's all the person can relate to. He calls it the burning, like a fiery burning love affair to have with the Almighty. As it says, that Yaakov redeemed Abraham. So Avraham is an expression of love. And Yaakov, so love can be directed in lots of places. You can love Hashem, you can love breakfast. But Rachmanis is always directed the right way. Mercy means that things are going to be directed the right way. That's what mercy means. It's knowing that if this is, if I'm going to give this, it's not going to be good. I'm not going to give it to you. So by connecting into the Rachmanis aspect of our neshama, and trying to elicit the Rachmanis aspect of Hashem, that then will have the benefit of filling in all the gaps in the love of Hashem that we don't have. As it says by Avraham, that from Avraham you got a Yishmael. There was something missing in Avraham. To the extent that Avraham said, "Lu Yishmael Yichiel Lefanacha," that halavai Yishmael should be worthy to be the progenitor of the Jewish people. That's where Avraham's love was directed. So, like this, so Yaakov had was Mitaseh Shloima. He had 12 sons who were all tzaddikim, and they became the leaders of the 12 tribes. And we'll go into more discussion. Go listen to my topics that are on the website that are from chapter 45. So it's known. That if you want to elicit Hashem getting excited, what do we want? We want abundant mercy to be showered upon us. So what do we have to do? You don't go outside and pick your arms up and say, "Okay, God, shower on me." Not going to help. Okay? It's not the way it's going to happen. It says there's a quid pro quo over here. We have to get excited. We have to show Rachmanis. If we want Hashem to show Rachmanis on our spark of godliness, which is inside of us, we have to show Rachmanis on the godly spark, which is inside of us first. Which means what? It means, as he said before, letting go of our taivas. Okay, focusing only on Elokus. When we'll show Hashem, listen, you know Hashem, we want to focus only on Elokus. So then Hashem says, okay, fine, you know what? That's what you really want. I'll give it to you. That's the only way that it happens. Which is why it doesn't happen. Because we like our taivas. Okay, Avraham Lipsker used to say in Fabrengen, this is not a Fabrengen, so it's not exactly appropriate. It says that us with our taivas is like a 2-year-old in a diaper. It says you're trying to toilet train a 2-year-old. Okay? And what is a 2-year-old doing? He's not getting it right. Okay? Why? Because he happens to like going in the diaper. It's warm, it's squishy. He's very proud of what he did. He doesn't want to give it away so fast. To him, it doesn't smell at all. But in the meantime, to everybody around him, it's like Melech HaVakayim over here. Let's get this kid out of here. So that's what it is to Hashem. We happen to enjoy our taivas. But to Hashem, they're just a poopy diaper. And so if we're ready to be potty trained already, so Hashem is going to say, good. Okay, you want the big boy underwear? Fine. You got to play like the big boy to get the big boy underwear. The analogy is my own. And it says, so now, we're going to make this easier on you. You want Rachmanis? Show Rachmanis. Where is the easiest way to show Rachmanis? Give today, folks. Your gold and your silver, give it away. Okay, and if anybody's listening and they don't know where to give it, go to JewishFerndale.com. There's a donations page. So that we'll take good care. We'll make sure that all of your tzedakah goes to the right place. So so that's it. By us displaying that we are in a mode of Rachmanis, because tzedakah isn't this expression of Rachmanis. It's like the Pasuk says, tzedakah benachal eitan. Tzedakah touches right to the very core part of our persona. Lachin pu'ulas ha-tzedakah hu pu'ulas nachal eitan mamash, as I just said. The effect that tzedakah has is to tap into this mighty raging river which is stuck inside our body. So we have a pasuk that says skin for skin, but all that man possesses he will give of his soul. The pasuk from Eoy, from Job. The meaning to say that how much rachmanis does a person have to have? Well, quite a lot. Meaning to say, this has to be done seriously. The person should take this seriously, not be flippant about it. And also, by the way, a little bit of a caveat, not give tzedakah in order that Hashem should have rachmanis on you. Because we know the Rambam writes the different levels of giving tzedakah, 8 different ways of giving tzedakah. The one that he doesn't write, which there's actually a 9th way, if a person gives for an ulterior motive, I want something out of the deal. That's even lower than a person giving grudgingly. Okay, person doesn't want to give tzedakah, but he knows, okay, I get to give tzedakah, and he gives the tzedakah. As the Rambam writes that that's the worst way to give tzedakah, it's still tzedakah. But what the Rambam doesn't write is a person who gives tzedakah to get his name on a wall, or in this case, I'm giving tzedakah in order that Hashem should shower me with rachamim rabim. So it's not going to cut it. Because now the tzedakah just becomes his old fish. So it doesn't smell very nice. So when a person's giving tzedakah, they should do it in such a way that it's b'sever panim yafes. It's with a smile and an understanding, and the person's doing it as a true sense of having rachmanis on the other person, not that they're doing it so that they can have rachmanis. And this will illuminate his nefesh alakis, his godly soul, that it should be illuminated with the infinite light of Hashem, blessed be he. Thus ends essay number 7, to be continued.